This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. He is Andrew Destin. I am Noah Hiles. Andrew, the Pirates finish up a three-game set in Atlanta. They avoid a sweep with a 4-1 victory, 3-3 on this six-game road trip between Cincinnati and Atlanta. We've got a lot to talk about. Before we do, we've got to get into our shows. We got to talk about our show's presenting sponsor, which is the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern is across from PNC Park and is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Andrew, a lot to talk about here from this road trip, but especially this Atlanta series, where I feel like it highlighted, it was a very, very honest showing of what the Pirates are at the midpoint in their season. It highlighted some of the strengths. It definitely highlighted some of the weaknesses. And on Sunday, I think it showed what this team honestly needs in order to win more ball games moving forward. So I'll let you pick where we start this conversation.
Yeah, probably offense is the spot, right? I mean, where you score combined 6 runs across 3 games, 2 across your first 2 games of the series. You thought coming out of the Cincy series, maybe they'd be able to ride that momentum a little bit, albeit that was against some lackluster Reds starting pitching and Hunter Green got roughed up. So maybe in hindsight, that was a little bit too rosy colored glasses to look at it that way. But yeah, the offense just not showing up really in the capacity that it needs to. Obviously on Sunday with a couple of home runs, that's very helpful. But in general, the offense is still struggling. They came to this game 25th in MLB in runs scored. Ben Charrington had a comment on his radio show where he basically said that, hey, if we get into the postseason, it's because we're going to win low scoring games. We're going to be the run prevention team. And I get that, you know, pitching very much has exceeded expectations. But the offense still, in my opinion, at least, not holding up its end of the bargain. And it sounds like the comments from Ben Charrington are that it's going to be internal. Don't expect it to be, you know, sizable moves, real big wheeling and dealing to reinvigorate this ball club. They're still banking on in the second half it being a lot of internal improvement. And I know there's a lot of individual guys that we can get into, but that's just kind of my general takeaway. It was, good starting pitching from the Braves, but not very good hitting from the Pirates.
Right. And, you know, let's go into that a little bit more. I mean, obviously the offense has been the biggest problem all season. And I think today showed what needs to happen in order for this team to win. The problem from start to now has been a lack of power. You consider the guys who are slumping right now. Jack Sawinski, Henry Davis, Rowdy Tellez was slumping for the first 2 months of the season. Some people are frustrated with O'Neill Cruz saying he needs to give more. Michael A. Taylor. I mean, these are guys that were expected to hit home runs this year. And yes, I'll throw Michael A. Taylor in that group because he had 20 home runs last year for the Twins. And boy, would it be nice to have 20 home runs from him, you know, this season, which I don't see happening. But I mean, that's what's missing. This team just needs to hit home runs. There are a lot of games, Andrew, where they find a way to get runners on base, either by walks or by singles, but it's missing the long ball. That's just the biggest thing that it comes down to in this era of baseball with the way this team approaches, you know, hitting in general too. I mean, they go up there with kind of a 3 outcome approach and we're not seeing much of the first outcome. And when they do hit home runs, they typically win ball games. And you saw that with this team today on Sunday, Andrew, getting 2-run home runs in the same inning to chase a starting pitcher, to build a comfortable 3-run lead in Atlanta. That's what needs to happen. O'Neill Cruz, I would say he's been a league average hitter. And it's not all on him, but if he can do that more, if he can just go on a month-long tear like we've seen Reynolds do, what we've seen Rowdy Tellez do this month, what we saw Connor Joe do or Andrew McCutchen, if he can be the one that does it, I think it takes the club to the next level just because he has more raw talent than anyone on this roster. And if Rowdy Tellez can keep hitting or even just maybe 80% of what he did in June. That's going to make the club better. And then you look at the other guys, like we talked about, Jack Suwinski, Michael A. Taylor, Henry Davis. You get those guys going, like what Ben talked about, then this is a much different team in the second half. But that's a big if. So let's go a little bit more into Ben's words here. A lot of interesting things were said, as you pointed out. It didn't really scream, hey, we're really going after the biggest names on the trade market. We're in a hurry to win now and add a whole bunch. I kind of get Ben's logic to a certain extent where, like what he pointed out, where, yeah, like we're going to need everyone to play better because we can't just get 9 new hitters. I get that part of it. But Andrew, I mean, what stood out to you about that whole presser? You wrote about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many places to start. I mean, the first comments that really stuck with me, and have it here verbatim, you know, we have more players that can improve by far than the number that we can acquire. Which to me, I mean, yeah, that reiterates kind of the sentiment that we're discussing here of, you know, it's going to be the internal improvement. That's what they're really pegging on here, which is a lot to ask for, because a couple of stats I'll throw out here, just looking at Fangraphs real quickly, to the point of the 3 true outcomes, like you brought up, Noah, 24th in MLB in home runs this year, but the 3rd highest strikeout rate of any team. So if you're going to have one, you'd hope the other would join it. That's not been the case. But regardless, in regards to Ben Charrington's words, yeah, I mean, the kind of sentiment there is that this is who the Pittsburgh Pirates are. And that's not just on the surface of, okay, this is the players that they have. It's also a comment that he had of, yeah, we're a very young team. We're going to have young players, which I'll quibble with a little bit because they did get a fair number of free agents. However, the sentiment does hold of they are going to seek improvement from within, because this isn't a big budget franchise. This isn't a team that is going to be willing to wheel and deal money left and right, whether right or wrong. It's neither for us to comment on. The reality is just that that's how they're approaching this trade deadline. Is that a guy, you know, I basically took it at face value of, okay, Luis Robert with the Chicago White Sox, given his contract status and how many years he has remaining, that's a guy that I don't believe the Pirates would reasonably be able to get, even if they were willing to part with that kind of prospect capital, which Ben Charrington kind of said that he is willing to part with prospect capital, but it's not going to be for those big fishes. The only guy that I imagine they really are going to try to hang on to is Bubba Chandler. So my takeaway is, yeah, they're going to go into the deadline.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
They're going to make some moves, either for better or for worse, but don't expect it to be anything titanic, which maybe should have been obvious in the first place anyway.
Yes. So we've got a couple of things that we still need to hit on. One of them real quick we can get into. Brian Reynolds, 0 for 4 today. Or was it 0 for 4 or 0 for 3? I believe 0 for 4.
Yeah.
Regardless, he didn't get a hit. Snaps a 25-game hit streak, longest the Pirates have had since 2003, Kenny Lofton. with a long hit streak there. Longest hit streak in Major League Baseball this season. Still a very good month for Reynolds. Hit 320, I believe, 6 home runs, 16 runs batted in. Andrew, obviously, I think some regression will take place. I don't think Brian Reynolds is going to hit 320 with 6 home runs every month for the remainder of the season. It would be great for the Pirates if he did. But did you see enough from Reynolds? And I'll even throw Rowdy in there too. Did those two guys, the two best hitters on the team this month, did they show you enough to show that this is kind of sustainable, the changes they've made at the plate?
I'm going to go ahead and say more so for Tellez than Reynolds, which may be contrary to what some people would think. I only bring that up because I think we've seen spurts of Reynolds. This is kind of who he is, where it's going to ebb and flow. And when it's on, it's really on. And when it's off, it's not. I feel like this is a comment you made a few weeks back of like, even when Reynolds is scuffling, like he's still very much like a solid hitter.
Yeah.
Like it very much, he still is contributing. When Rowdy Tellez was struggling, he was not a league average hitter. So I say all that, the tangible difference between the toe tap versus the leg kick, I think that genuinely is a big thing for his comfort. I know we told a couple of you guys in Atlanta about how his comfort level at the plate is very different. Listen, I'm not expecting him to run away with the silver slugger or anything like that, but this is a guy who across his career has been a league average hitter. I don't think that's too much to ask that the regression to the mean is a guy who probably finishes the year around 230, 240 with 15 homers. I think that's more than well within reach.
I agree. And I mean, his OPS has climbed above 600 now. I think by the end of the year, it'll be above 700. And if that can be the case, then that's kind of what you pay for. We're a $3 million first baseman. So two last things we need to get into. One final thing from this series, aside from Martin Perez, Andrew, which you can talk a little bit about, really good pitching overall from the Pirates here. Paul Skenes, 6 strong innings of 1-run ball, another leadoff home run. I guess he's got to fix that problem. Aroldis Chapman looked pretty good, I thought, this series. Kyle Nicklaus looked really good today. Carmen Majinski has looked really good since, you know, 2 scoreless extra innings of relief in Toronto. Who else pitched? I mean, Dalton Jeffries, three shutout innings. Didn't see that one coming. But, I mean, overall, the bullpen, Andrew, it's been pretty solid. A really good series from that. And then, you know, 2 of the 3 starters, Falter recovering from a rough month of June, Skenes continuing his dominance. Everyone looked good aside from Martin Perez, really.
Yeah, I would say the thing that stands out to me the most there is the bullpen. I mean, this is such an essential ingredient. I believe it was going into June, it was either the 2nd or the 3rd worst bullpen in MLB. And June was by no means a banner month for the bullpen. I mean, that's pretty well documented with some of the issues, whether that was Dalton Jeffries' first couple of appearances, Ben Heller. You could go down the list of just guys who did struggle, Justin Brule. But the reality is that with the current crop that they have there, and with the reality of David Bednar being close behind, Ryan Barucki being close behind, the bullpen should, in theory, be one that either A, you don't need to manage or don't need to add to that much at the trade deadline, or it's very minimal. Just because you have a couple of these guys coming back. And it's very encouraging when you get performances, like you mentioned, with Majinski and Nicklaus. Like, these are important ingredients that make it so you don't have to go out and chase arms at the deadline, which is always a fickle task. So will they still go out and get a guy? Maybe. But I view it as, hey, the bullpen really looks strong. And like you said, the starting pitching, aside from Martin Perez, yeah, that was an important bounce back start from Bailey Falter, just given how things went in Cincinnati.
13 innings pitched this weekend in Atlanta from the bullpen, 1 earned run allowed, which came in the bottom of the 9th today from Aroldis Chapman. So really good weekend for them. They had their A game. They're going to need their A game, Andrew. When you look at what lies ahead for the Pittsburgh Pirates this week, this is the biggest week of the season. And I know, you know, we're into July. We're in the second half of the year. We're getting to the All-Star break. You look at the standings. I mean, this is a team where a lot of that pack is starting to separate itself one way or the other. Some teams are losing a lot and falling out of the race. Some teams are heating up and getting a little bit ahead of the rest. The Pirates are still dead in the middle, and I don't know how much longer that's going to last. When you look at what they have upcoming in the next 7 games, 3 are against the St. Louis Cardinals, a team ahead of them in the division standings and a wild card team. And 4 against the New York Mets, the hottest team in Major League Baseball right now. This is right before the trade deadline. This is their final homestand before the trade deadline. or not all-star break, I should say, not the trade deadline. But we're in July now. I think it's safe to say that these seven games are going to have a big impact on how aggressive this team is at the deadline. Because, you know, if you go 5-2 here, you have a winning record now. You're a better baseball team. You're still in the mix. There's incentive. And, you know, you go into Milwaukee and Chicago with a chance to really get to the All-Star game over 500 and still well in the mix while also taking your competition down a peg. But if you lose these series, if you get swept by either of these teams, or even just come away with just a couple of wins, it might be a cause for them to say, all right, well, we're going into Milwaukee against the first place team. What do we really have to prove? What can we really accomplish with this? I think this is going to be a very, very important homestand for the Pirates season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we've talked about it in this podcast before, but the other series or stretch of games that comes to mind was in mid-May when they played the Cubs twice and the Brewers once over a 10-game stretch. And that was a point in time where you thought, okay, they can either really ascend the standings, they can drop, or they can kind of middle it. They kind of middled that stretch where they took they split with the Brewers the first time and then, you know, then lost 2 out of 3. But regardless, I bring all of that up to say that these divisional games certainly matter more. They're heightened importance. The Cardinals have been arguably the best team in baseball over the last month. And so the Mets are right there with them. These are two of the hottest teams in baseball. So not only is it important just in the sense of, okay, these are really important games given the standings of where these teams are with the playoff picture, these are also two really good teams playing some of their best baseball of the year right now. I don't know that you can say the same about the Pirates. You can't. I mean, 3-3 on the road trip, they played fine. They did some good things. But I bring all that up to say that they have the potential to take certainly both series. They're both at home. That's in their play. But these are going to be two good teams. So I'm curious to see what they get out of this.
I will counter and say I actually do think the Pirates are playing. I don't think they're playing the best baseball they can. Mm-hmm. I do think that this was the best month of the season for the Pirates. It's their only season they had a win, or only full month of the year where they had a winning record. So yeah, that's where I kind of look at it. I mean, unless you count March where they went 4-0, but again, I think that right now they have the opportunity to do something, and yeah, it's going to be a challenge, but if they can execute here in this, I'll even throw the Brewers in there, this 10 game stretch against three teams ahead of them in the postseason picture right now, two of those three teams being in their own division, it will change their season. And if they show up and lay an egg, they're probably doing nothing at the deadline, and you're looking at 2025. So it's going to be interesting. We'll be there to cover it all. He's Andrew Destin. I'm Noah Hiles. This show is brought to you by North Shore Tavern. Read all of our work at post-gazette.com and keep tuning into the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network for all of your Pittsburgh sports coverage. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.